Luke chapter 14. Let's open our Bibles and turn to this New Testament passage of Scripture. Over the past month or so, we have been looking at texts from John's Gospel, and even through the week of prayer, thoughts that certainly the Lord blessed my heart through reading as I read through the Gospel of John recently. And as we were blessed, we sought to pass on those challenges to you. And we're coming now to the Gospel of Luke. This was a passage of Scripture that I had in mind as we prepared for the preaching of the Gospel at our mission. And we're going to read from it just now. The subject today is Christ's urgent command to his servants and the great purpose in view. Luke chapter 14, verse 16. Then said he unto him, A certain man made a great supper, and bade many, and sent his servant at supper time to say to them that were bidden, Come, for all things are now ready. And they all with one consent began to make excuse. The first said unto him, I have bought a piece of ground, and I must needs go and see it. I pray thee, have me excused. And another said, I have bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I go to prove them. I pray thee, have me excused. And another said, I have married a wife, and therefore I cannot come. So that servant came and showed his Lord these things. And the master of the house, being angry, said to his servant, Go out quickly into the streets and lanes of the city, and bring in hither the poor, and the maimed, and the halt, and the blind. And the servant said, Lord, it is done as thou hast commanded, and yet there is room. And the Lord said unto the servant, Go out into the highways and hedges, and compel them to come in, that my house may be filled. For I say unto you, that none of those men which were bidden shall taste of my supper. Ending the reading at verse 24. And taking for our text verse 23, where Jesus says, The Lord said unto the servant, Go out into the highways and hedges and compel them to come in, that my house may be filled. The story related by Jesus Christ in this chapter of God's Word is one of the most instructive and challenging that we have in all the New Testament Scriptures. A great feast has been made by a great man, and he sends out his servant at supper time with this message, Come, for all things are now ready. And you know what happened. The servant goes out, he gives the invitation, he bids the people that were invited to come, but they all began to make excuse, every last one of them. One man had bought a piece of ground, he hadn't seen the ground that he had bought, and he had to go and see it. Well, that was a stupid thing to do. Another man had bought a yoke of oxen, and he hadn't proved them. That was a very lame excuse also. And then the other man, well, he had got married, and maybe his wife didn't allow him to go, but he wasn't able to go either. And so he meets with rejection. The master of the house was far from happy by the poor response that was received to his invitation, that negativity, that indifference and that rejection. Not being deterred or dejected by the lame excuses and the discouraging response, he recommissions his servant and sends him out again with the pressing instruction, Go out quickly into the streets and lanes of the city and bring in hither the poor and the maimed and the halt and the blind. This is done in humble obedience, and the servant returns with the news in verse 22, Lord, it is done as thou hast commanded, and yet there is room. And so the Lord sends the servant out again with the words of our text, verse 23, Go out into the highways and hedges and compel them to come in, that my house may be filled. You can't fail to see the application here. You see how relevant this story is to the present day in which we live. To grasp the burden that is being communicated by no less than the Savior himself as he sets before his disciples the great work that they must be involved in. A great supper has been provided by Almighty God in and through the work of his dear Son. It is indeed the gospel feast. What a mighty provision we have in Christ. We can partake of eternal life. We can come to know the joy of sins forgiven. We can have peace with God forever. We can go at last to heaven saved by the precious blood. And the invitation is sounded out, just like it is here in this story. The message of the gospel is come, for all things are now ready. Everything that needs to be done has been done. Jesus Christ has paid it all. And the message to sinful men today is the message to come to him. Too often there's apathy and neglect and rejection as people despise the message and turn away from God's speaking voice. And yet there's room. We still must go forward preaching the word, calling sinners to repentance and faith, telling them about the gospel feast. This message is an urgent one. For time is short, as we shall come to see, and therefore we must compel sinners to come. The message of Christ in this discourse is no doubt a word in season in the midst of a discouraging day in God's work. In this era of neglect, apathy, rejection, and hardness, but that's the spirit of the modern age, yet here's a word of encouragement. To still keep going forth with the message of the gospel. How often we have sent the servants of Christ forth. We have sent the servants forth in the home mission. Brother Albert McCauley did that for many, many years, knocking on the doors of this town. Brother Mark, for this past 4 years, has been carrying on that same ministry. We've been going out to the open air, standing there on a Saturday, every other Saturday, preaching the gospel to those that pass by. Taking the day of open airs also that we have around the coast, seeking to spread this message at the command of Christ to go out. We've been going out onto the doors on our visitation programs, our outreach work, knocking those doors, imploring men to seek the Lord that they might find him as their own and their personal Savior. We have an up-to-date message. Come, for all things are now ready. But we're meeting with excuses and neglect and rejection. And the Lord's not pleased. The master of this house was not pleased with the response that was given to the invitation. And of course, it's true to say that God is not pleased with regard to the way that men treat the gospel today. And it's probably true to say that the servants of Christ are also a little bit discouraged. I have no doubt in my mind as this servant that the Lord speaks about goes out, gives the invitation, meets with that indifference and apathy and rejection, that he's a little bit discouraged in his own heart because the invitation is not being received. It's not being taken up. And that's true today with God's servants as we go out to spread the gospel and we meet with the same kind of response. Are we not a little bit discouraged? But God is good. And God is long-suffering. And he is tolerant and merciful and kind, and so he sends his servants out again and again and again. And we're not to be disheartened. We're not to be dejected or downcast. Jesus says, go out quickly into the streets and the lanes of the city and bring them in. He says, go out into the highways and the hedges and bring them in. We must not be complacent or careless in our duty. Sadly, in many cases, the fire and the enthusiasm and zeal for lost souls that once filled the hearts of some of God's people has dwindled and even disappeared. And this is something that we must resist and that we must fight against with every fiber of our being and all the grace that Almighty God gives to us, because the church that fails in evangelism will die. Like old Nicholson, he used to say, if you don't evangelize, you'll fossilize. In other words, you'll die. We need personal revival. We need a touch from heaven. And the opportunity has been given to us in this gospel mission to go out and invite others in, to compel them to come in. And that's why I want to speak today. This afternoon the mission commences, so this morning I want to challenge our hearts afresh and speak today on the subject, Christ's urgent command to his servants and the great purpose in view. I want you to notice that there is a sovereign commission here. You take the words, the Lord said. This evidently is a picture of our God and our Savior sending forth his people into his work to be a witness for him, to preach the invitation of the gospel. And we need to grasp this reality. Who it is that is sending us forth into the work? It's the Lord. It's Christ himself. The one who gave the general commission to all his blood-bought people. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. And it's his voice that I want you to hear. Right now in this meeting. Not so much the voice of this preacher. And I will continue by the help of God to give the calls from this pulpit that I ought to give and make my appeal to God's people and my exhortations. But if it is only my voice that you hear, then little will be accomplished. There'll be very little motivation and real commitment and genuine passion burning in your soul if it's only my voice that you hear. Dear Christian, you need to hear the Lord today. You need to realize that this is his commission. He is sending us forth. And if you hear the voice of our dearly beloved, the one who is the fairest of 10,000 to our soul, the one who is the bright in the morning star, the rose of Sharon, the blessed lily of the valley, that will make the difference. That will cause an impact upon your heart that I could not possibly bring with all my persuasions and entreaties, however sincere they might be. It is the one who accomplished everything for us for time and eternity. It is he who has predestinated us, called us, loved us, washed us, justified us, redeemed us, and brought us into personal union with himself that is sending us forth. He is the one who is commissioning us, calling us, saying, son, go work today in my vineyard. It's the Lord of glory who is giving this call. The King of kings, and the Lord of lords, the great I am, the blessed Savior himself, the one who was wounded for our transgressions and bruised for our iniquities, the one who gave his back to the smiters and his cheeks to them that plucked off the hair, the one that sweat, as it were, great drops of blood falling down to the ground, the one who suffered without the gate, the one who cried, with that cry that I'll never be able to fathom, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? When he died there, yonder upon Calvary's cross, this is the one that is giving us the commission. If we could just get this conviction instilled into our hearts and our minds that it is he who calls us to this work, what an impression that will make. As we go out to win the lost and the perishing of this world, we're going at his command, under his authority. It is the Lord who is sending us out. It is the Lord that has given us the message. He's commissioning us. So there's a sovereign commission here. Secondly, there is a stirring action. You see what he says? Go out. The Lord said unto the servant, go out. Not stand still. Not sit back. Not lie on your bed of ease, as many in the Christian church would seek to do. And woe to them that are at ease, the Bible tells us. Action is demanded by God. There must be a going out. You're not merely to be a pew warmer. I'm glad you're warming these pews today, that there is a congregation here. You're not even merely to be a prayer warrior. And we appreciate those of God's people who joined with us night by night last week to lay this mission before God. We appreciate those who will join with us this afternoon and throughout the mission before the meetings to seek God earnestly And we've got to be prayer warriors. We've got to spread the need at the feet of the Lord. God doesn't want us only to be a pew warmer and a prayer warrior. He wants us to be a personal worker. He wants us to go forth. We're not to be satisfied with our comfortable churches, with our happy band of worshippers, with our nice pews and facilities and music and enjoy good singing, good preaching, good fellowship. These things are important. And I value them. But it doesn't stop there. There must be a going out. Listen, the Lord says to his servant, go out. It was Oswald Smith who wrote those words, snug in our little nest, comfortable amid our surroundings, satisfied with our handful of overfed followers, we hold our services, preach our sermons, and seem to have no care, no thought for the perishing multitudes around us. Yet God never told sinners to come in to us. He told us to go to them. Why then do we blame them for not coming in when the real blame is ours for not going out? God help us. Where there is no vision, the people perish. You see, there must be action. It's an interesting study to note the comes of the Bible. And usually those comes are given by way of invitation to the sinner to come to Christ. Like the one that we have in verse 17, come for all things are now ready. But it's also an interesting challenge to note the goes of the Bible. Whereas God says to the sinner, come, he says to his people, go. He that goeth forth. Way back there in the Psalm 126, the psalm that has been preached about soul winning, the subject of soul winning. Go, it says there, he that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. There's a going forth. When the Lord first sent out his 12 disciples, he says, go. Go to the lost sheep of the house of Israel, and as ye go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Mention that verse on go work today in my vineyard. Or the Great Commission, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. The disciples in Acts chapter 5 were told to go, stand and speak in the temple to the people all the words of this life. And the Lord is still saying, go. This commission has not changed. Go work today. Go work on your family. Concerning the preaching of the gospel this fortnight, go work there in your family. Tell them about the Lord. Get them in under the sound of the word. Go to your friend, your school colleague, your workmate, the man down the road. Go to them. Go to them. There needs to be action. And then notice thirdly, that there is a specified location, highways and hedges. The servant has already gone out and he has bidden the guests who were invited to come, but they made their excuses. He has already gathered in the poor, the maimed, the halt and the blind from the streets and the lanes of the city, and yet there is room. And now he must round up all those poor souls from the highways and the hedges who have no resting place for their heads and are lying on the hedges for shelter. Our responsibility to fallen humanity is extensive. Yes, we must go to the proud religious men around us, those who have the greatest privileges, those who seem to be near the kingdom, and say, as this servant said initially, come, for all things are now ready. Sadly, like those in Christ's story, they are occupied, preoccupied with business affairs and family cares and religious activity too, that they neglect to come. They refuse to come. I will not come, they say. And so the Lord sends us out again. First of all, he sends us out, as we see in verse 21, to the streets and the lanes of the city, to bring in hither the poor, the maimed, the halt, and the blind. We must bring in the poor. Those that are poor in their circumstances. That's not a barrier to the kingdom of heaven. For God did not withhold his grace from the man who is poor. We need to reach out to those in poverty. need to reach out to the down and out, to the drunkard, to the immoral person, to the young people that are caught up with drugs. We might see a picture here of the poor in them. We must bring in the maimed. There was a time when some individuals thought that they could work out their own salvation without the help of God, with their own works and ceremonies. But now they are maimed. The sword of the law has cut off their hands. They realize that they can't do anything to save them. Oh, that many in this province would waken up and realize that today. They're maimed. They're maimed. Need to bring them in. You must bring in the halt. Those that are halting between two opinions, they are sometimes seriously inclined to spiritual and eternal matters, and at other times they are drawn away into the gaiety of the world, and they can't make up their mind. Will it be God that I will follow, or will it be the things of this world and this life that I will follow? Let us go quickly and persuade them to choose Christ and be saved. And then we must bring in the blind, those who have had their eyes put out. They cannot see themselves as they are. They cannot understand their true state before God. They think themselves to be good when the Bible says there's none good, no, not one. They are blind to their condition. They are blind to their future. They can't see if they die and their sins are going to be lost forever and ever and ever in a Christless hell. And they are blind to the Savior. They can't see that it is Jesus and Jesus alone that is able to save. There's no beauty that they should desire Him. We need to see the great multitudes around us who are walking in darkness and win them to Christ. Then secondly, there's the words of verse 23, go out into the highways and hedges. The compassion of the Savior does not end in the streets and the lanes of the city. And therefore the servant is sent further afield to the more remote regions to pick up the vagrants and the wanderers, to call in those who no man has cared for, to invite them to partake of the banquet of heavenly mercy. Not only was the servant to gather the poor, the maimed, the halt and the blind from the streets and the lanes of the city, but he was to fetch the poor, the maimed, the halt and the blind from the highways and the hedges too. We must not only be burdened for those that we think to be respectable in our family circles and friendship circles, but we must bring the gospel to those that are despised and forsaken, who lie in the gutter of sin, who are strewn helplessly upon the highways, who are sprawled upon the hedges of a lost eternity. Let's have mercy, or show mercy, upon such poor creatures of miserable humanity whom proud society looks down upon. Let us never pass them by on the other side the way that the priest and the Levite did in the story of the Good Samaritan. But let's reach out and bring them in. Rescue the perishing. Care for the dying. Snatch them in pity from sin and the grave. That's our duty. And then I want you to notice, fourthly, the sincere compulsion. The Savior uses these words, and I want you to underscore them. Compel them to come in. Compel them to come in. What do we know about what the Savior is speaking about here? Come on, my Christian. What do you know about this word compel? When it comes to this work of evangelism, when it comes to bringing the unconverted of our towns and our villages and the country areas in to hear the word of life, what do you know about this word compel? The word is only used 9 times in the New Testament. In 4 of those places it is rendered constrain. Constrain. Oh, that we would constrain men to Christ. The Lord wants us to compel sinners by irresistible clearness of reason, by strength of argument, by deep and genuine affection. We are to convince, persuade, entreat them to come in, set before them all the arguments why they should come to Christ and come to hear the message of Christ. When was the last time, and I want you to be honest in your heart, when was the last time you compelled a sinner to come in? Was it just a kind of a half-hearted invitation, come sometime? Like you to come to the mission? Or did you lay hold upon them and compel them to come to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ preached? You've persevered. You've refused to give up. You've kept at it. How do we gain the masses? How shall this house become thronged with the unsaved? Go for them. That's what D.L. Moody said in his day. Let the text be our guide. Let the words of Christ be our guide. Compel them to come in. No special talents are needed to compel men to come in. Only a special consecration. May God grant us that holy boldness. Why should we compel sinners? Well, there's many reasons. Let me outline just a few as we think about that. We ought to compel them to come in because all things are now ready. In a very real sense, all man needs to do is to come. The feast has been prepared from the foundation of the world. The Savior has been made flesh. He has finished the work that His Father gave Him to do. The sacrifice has been offered upon Calvary's cross. It has been accepted by the Father. Redemption is accomplished. And salvation is now possible. The Father is ready to embrace the repenting prodigal. The Son is ready to speak the word of forgiveness and peace. The Spirit is ready to regenerate and save. The angels are ready to carry that message of repentance to heaven where there will be joy. The question is, are you and I ready? Are you and I ready to compel men to come in? For all things are now ready. Another reason is because sinners will not come of their own accord. If they will not come to us in public, we must go to them in private. If they will not attend the preaching of the congregation, then we must be willing to preach from house to house. You know the difficulty getting souls into the house of God. Therefore, we have to go to them. They will not come of their own accord. We must also compel because yet there's room. Now I said the great man of this feast, I will not be defeated in this matter. I have prepared my banquet and there are scores of people who would like to come if only they were invited. And thank God there's still plenty of room for sinners to come to Christ. The table is spread. There are many chairs vacant. Compel them to come in. Another reason why we ought to compel is because time is short. Our task is an urgent one. It cannot wait until tomorrow. We must work in the present. Paul presented the invitation earnestly and urgently because the time was short. And he said, now is the day of salvation. Now is the accepted time. You and I have only a few short years in which to work. And we don't even know if we have those few short years, but potentially. And so we must compel sinners to come because time is short. We must also compel them because life is brief and death is certain. Therefore, we must be instant in season and out of season. We must press the gospel upon the sinner again and again. We must cry aloud and spare not. We must deal with that individual as if he was on the very point of death. We must try to snatch them as a brand from the burning. We must say, I cannot, I will not, I dare not let you go on ruining your soul. Don't leave it until it's too late. Now's the time to work for the Lord, because life is brief and death is certain. You know, when your loved one is taken and you're standing on an open graveside and you're watching that loved one being lowered into Mother Earth, it's too late to shed the tear then. It's too late to pray then. It's too late to compel them to Christ then. Oh, I tell you, death is coming. It's certain. And we ought to compel because judgment and punishment are sure. One day, men will stand before Almighty God. The books are going to be opened. The Bible tells us about that. The record is going to be read. And those who stand there at the great white throne of judgment will be sentenced to that place that is called the lake of fire, and out they will go into the hell of hells, if you like, for all of God's eternity. And in the light of the judgment, the eternal punishment, that awaits men who die without the Lord. We need to compel sinners, don't we? And I have one final thought, and that is the spiritual mission. Jesus says that my house might be filled. My house speaks of certainly the place of worship. My house, Jesus said, shall be called the house of prayer. David talked about the house of God, referring to the public place of worship, which was the tabernacle in his day. That place that he loved. He loved to frequent the house of God. And we want to see our churches filled. We mourn over the empty buildings in this United Kingdom. Buildings that were once put up for the preaching of the gospel, but they're empty now. We mourn over the declining attendance. We mourn over the fact that churches today are half empty. And I long for the day when this church is filled. We've been praying about that even before the building went up, and more so since. You know, sometimes, and we pray every day that the Lord will give us another 100 people, but I've even been convicted about that recently. Because 100 people probably wouldn't fill all those seats. I've been just asking the Lord to fill this church with men that are hungering after the bread of life. Fill this church with people from this town and surrounding district who are longing to hear the message of salvation. Compel them to come in to the house of God that they might hear. Ultimately, my house is that house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. It's my Father's house on high. The place that Jesus said were many mansions. John 14, in my Father's house. My friend, we need to compel sinners to come in, that that eternal house will be filled. We're going to heaven one day. It's a prepared place. Even now the Lord is preparing that place for us. This eternal house in the heavens has been built for a great multitude. A great multitude that you and I could never number. God knows all about them. And that house must be filled, every last place. And my friends, it's going to be inhabited, it's going to be filled through the means that God has given to us. And that is the preaching of the gospel, the presentation of divine truth, compelling sinners to Christ, compelling them to commit even to hear the gospel that they might come to Christ. It is coming to Christ that makes sure that that house in the heavens is going to be filled one day. And I trust that we will fulfill our duty, and that God will stir our hearts. And we need to get a little bit excited about this mission. This is an important time. As we said in past Lord's days, Jesus is passing this way. And he's passing this way in a unique sense that perhaps he doesn't normally do throughout the other part of the year. This is a concentrated time of gospel preaching, and the Lord is near. Our duty is to compel men to come in, that the house of God might be filled. Let's obey the Lord. Let's go out. And let's constrain them. And I trust that every night this place will be filled with sinners. Not just dozens, but scores of them, to hear the gospel of Christ.